Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And this morning on The Local Take, I'm joined in the studio by Mac Willis from Somerset Assisted Living. Programming on WCLK is made possible in part by Somerset Assisted Living Centers. Mac, welcome back to The Local Take.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, the last time you were here, we discussed a few changes in the law that were impacting veterans and their abilities to stay at assisted living locations. I'm glad to have you back to discuss some other senior challenges, especially after the holidays when many people engaged with seniors in their families, and some of us left thinking, oh, mom needs some help. So, can you tell me, how do people know when their parents or other seniors in the family are ready for an assisted living facility?
Well, Kiplin, you know, you made a very good observation there, and we seem to have an influx in activity in our center for tours, looking for placement right after the major holidays, particularly Christmas. Families come home and they realize, well, my, what Junior's been telling us is so true. He needs help. He can't continue to take care of mom or dad or Aunt Susie all by himself. We need help. And they began the search for assisted living or some solution. In my own case, before we built Somerset, my wife and I actually had someone to live in with my aunt. And believe it or not, we went through 5 live-in caregivers in 1 year. I can tell you some stories that would spin your head around. But sometimes they don't show up. One of the last ones we had called from the Greyhound bus station. She says, I'm on my way to Savannah to see after my sister. She's sick. My wife said, I'm so sorry to learn that your sister is sick. Now, what time would you like us to pick you up at the Greyhound bus station on Sunday evening? She said, honey, you must not have heard what I said. I'm going to see about my sister, which meant she was not coming back. So we had to scramble. So that's just one of the instances that made us more aware of what the caregiving situation was like and drove us toward looking for a more permanent sort of an institutional setting so that we're not dependent just on one person.
I know it gets a little crazy, but often seniors aren't ready to give up that independence. So what is it that you're looking for? Because if, you know, your mom is saying, but I'm okay, you know, I'm still taking my medicine. What do you look for? Are there any signs that you look for to say, you know, maybe this is not going to work?
Well, believe it or not, of the 85 or so clients that we have, there are probably 85% of them, maybe 90% of them, because of dementia. So they're up and around. If they're truly sick and bedridden, then a nursing home may be a more appropriate solution. But assisted living is sort of a place between the home and the nursing home where they're not really sick enough to be in the bed all the time, but they need more care and supervision. At Somerset, we provide 24-hour nursing services. We provide 3 hot, nutritious meals each day and snacks in between meals. We have 2 fabulous piano players that come in every day and play beautiful music for morning devotion, one for the general population that are higher functioning, and one for the more severe dementia ward. Those are people that might act out or so. So it allows them to continue to thrive in an active environment and really is more vibrant than they would find sitting at home watching TV all day. It allows them to engage socially with other people, and we are social animals, and there are some benefits that accrue from that. So, but one of the first things that you would notice is that the memory tends to go with these people. Just little things. You know, they're forgetting to take care of their hygiene. They can't be trusted to take their medications on time or to eat properly. But people just don't want to give up a familiar surroundings and environment. I spoke at a conference in D.C. a few weeks ago, and somebody from the audience asked, well, we've got an aunt, and everybody in the family thinks she should be in assisted living, but she refuses to go. The question was, how do you handle that? My response was, you do for them just as your parents did for you. As long as you know in your heart you're doing what's right for them, you concoct whatever story you need to get them where they need to be. We had one individual who was in a place in Florida. His wife passed away. She was very sharp mentally. He was very strong physically. The two of them could function. she passed away and the family was challenged. And so they brought him to Somerset, and he was reluctant, wanted to know when he was going home. So we sat down and devised a story that he had moved from they had moved from their home to an apartment, to a condo. And we told him that the condo above him had a bursted water pipe, and it flooded his unit out, and they needed him to stay at Somerset for a few weeks until they could get everything repaired. During that interim, he got to know his table mates. He made some friends. The rest is history. He stayed there for 8 years.
It is very hard. And I know a lot of folks want to age in place. You know, no place feels like your own bed at your own home. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of solutions are in place for people who do want to age in place but may need some assistance?
Well, technically in the industry, aging in place means that they can come to an assisted living facility and stay until end of life. At one time, the state of Georgia laws required that if they become bedridden, they'd have to move out to a nursing home. And that changed about 4 or 5 years ago. We had to make a significant investment of adding additional sprinkler heads throughout the building and in every clothes closet. And that way we are now able to keep the term assisted living in our marketing material and in our signage out front. But it allows them to come in relatively good physical health, but remain and age in place even should they become bedridden.
Okay, and then the other part is paying. How do people pay for assisted living? Is this something where you need that long-term care insurance, you've got a pension? What is that like for families?
Well, you know, I'm seeing an increasing number of people coming in now with long-term care insurance, and I really advise people to take a very close look at that. You know, we were always coming along in life, admonished to get that life insurance. Don't leave a big burial expense on your family. And most of us have done that. Well, now the focus is beginning to shift somewhat and saying that in addition to that life insurance policy, you also need a long-term care and policy so that you don't put that big care balance on your family also. So we're seeing an increasing number of people coming into our facilities now with long-term care policies, and they will normally pay somewhere between $2,500 and $3,000 a month until the end of your life. The earlier in life you purchase these long-term care policies, the lower the premiums are. So that's something we advise. Other than that, people normally pay for the long-term care expenses of assisted living and other types of care with a retirement pension, with savings. Some of them have bought a home, or maybe a home and a couple of rental properties. And so they pull all these resources together to pay for their long-term care.
And now, one of the other things...
Oh, let me just say, too, that one of the big things that we've not paid enough attention to is, as you mentioned earlier, the veterans' benefits. Veterans who served during wartime, they don't have to be in the war zone or anywhere near it as long as they serve somewhere during a declared war. Right now, they are eligible for $1,800 a month to help with their long-term care expenses. If a person is the widow of a veteran, they're entitled to $1,250 a month. And there are several other veterans' benefits, and I would advise people if they're interested in that. We, in addition to providing senior care, we also would like to be known as a resource center for information regarding those available resources for long-term care.
So we've talked about the long-term care part. Can you also share information about the short-term care part? You mentioned the story about the condo, but sometimes people have travel, so they're not able to check in, you know, on Aunt Sue or on mom or dad, or someone's work is calling them away for a few months to be in another location. So what is it about the short-term care?
Well, a couple of things that can address in that area. First, I'll address is our respite care program. People can come in and stay from 2 or 3 days to a week or 2 weeks. We had a lady come in about a year ago whose house was severely damaged by water and a storm, and she wound up staying with us for about 6 months. And her insurance picked up the tab of that, her home damage insurance. Other times, people are going away for vacation, and they will bring them in to stay for a week to 10 days. Sometimes people have some special projects going on that are not able to provide the normal care, and they will bring them in for 3 or 4 days. So that's the respite program. Then we also have an adult daycare program. where some people are working, they're not ready to move their parents in, or mother, or aunt, or friend for permanent residency, but they can drop them off in the morning, just like you do with little kids. Drop them off in the morning around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and pick them up in the evening before 6, and that will allow them. And that adult daycare program, you don't need to sign up for any rigid amount of days. You can bring them in for once a week or 7 days a week. And also very important to know is that there is a veterans adult daycare program where the Veterans Administration will actually pay for veterans to come in, and they will pay 100% of the fee for them coming in and spending the day. And that gives them the three hot meals that we mentioned, hot nutritious meals, and various activities. Once they cross that threshold in the morning, they receive all the benefits and services that any full-time resident would get.
Now, we've mentioned how hard these conversations are to have with seniors, and, you know, they're the ones that have been in charge, and now all of a sudden this young person is coming and explaining that maybe they can't live on their own, or they've got to give up, you know, their car keys, or they've got to do this. Why are those conversations so hard to have? And is there a cultural difference for our community? Or what is it about? Why is that so hard?
Well, you know, people used to think it was cultural. When we first went into the business 19 years ago, we had some folk to say, well, I don't know why you guys are building an assisted living facility in the Cascade area, because African Americans, we take care of our own. And that was probably true at some point in time, because there was always somebody nearby, Aunt Susie or Cousin Josie, that lived down the street. But now the village has become so scattered. People are all over the place. And you don't always find those people available to come in and help take care of Aunt's mom or dad. The other consideration is, I noticed that there's another facility near us that's government funded. Now, assisted living is 100% private pay. And that place had a 2-year waiting list. I said, wait a minute, if this is culture-oriented, why does this place have a 2-year waiting list? It's because that place was paid for by the government, and people are really not eager to try to manage all of these healthcare concerns. The other thing I realized is that because people have dementia doesn't mean they're stupid. My wife and I danced around with my aunt to tell her that we weren't going to try another housekeeper that we had found this place for, but it was an independent living place. And so we got her dressed one Saturday morning, and we were taking her to this place, and we told her we found a place for her to live, that she would get her medications on time, somebody to assist her with her bathing. And she said, to our chagrin and amazement, I was wondering when you all were going to do something. So we were being too gingerly with it, walking on eggs, how are we going to tell her? And she was wondering what the heck was wrong with us.
So sometimes we need to go ahead, buckle up, and have that conversation.
We need to buckle up and have that conversation.
Now, I've visited the facility in Cascade there on Benjamin E. Mays, and I remember walking in wondering if it was going to be like a dorm, but it really is much more like a hotel. You've mentioned the piano players. Can you share just a little bit more about what an assisted living facility is like? What is the day like for folks there?
Well, you know, most assisted living facilities, they want to make them upscale because they're not cheap. And practically everybody who comes there comes from a nice home, a nice environment. And so we try to keep it on that level. We have, at Somerset, 3 baby grand pianos and 1 upright piano. We're big on music. We keep jazz flowing throughout the building all the time. And we want to make it very pleasant. And my wife and I arm wrestled a little bit as we were decorating. She kept going to these expensive furniture stores. I said, honey, you know, I don't necessarily want to go to Kmart, but do we have to spend this much? And she emphasized to me that all these people have come from nice homes, and our place need to reflect the kind of life they lived before. And so we try to keep it on that level. Even with the food, the dietary concerns, all of our meals are balanced and certified by a certified dietitian and nutritionist. So we really do try to keep it on that level. We had my brother-in-law is always saying, he said he walks into our facility, he said, this is the Ritz-Carlton of the Cascades. And so we try to keep it on that level so that these people feel very comfortable as they're leaving there pretty much very nice and in some cases upscale homes that they're coming to a place that's not going to be a letdown for them.
Well, Mac, I want to thank you so much for coming and sharing this information with us this morning. You know, some of us are planning for our parents, but we can also start planning for ourselves. And for more information on your assisted living center, folks can go to SomersetALC.com.
Absolutely. Or call the telephone number 470-231-2357. And let me repeat that. Telephone number 470-231-2357. So that even if you're not ready now, or you just want to call to get information so that you can plan for your eventual needs later in life, you can call that. And also, please inquire about the VA benefits, the veterans benefit, because I think as a culture, we are under-informed about those benefits that are available to our soldiers, military people who've gone out and put their lives on the line for this country. So we'll be happy to share. And we have all of the information, forms, and ins and outs of how to gain access to these veterans' benefits. And we would welcome any calls to inquire about that.
Thank you so much, Mac. That is so very important. And I hope our listeners get in touch.
Thank you, Premise. I've enjoyed this conversation.
Programming on WCLK is made possible in part by Somerset Assistant Living Centers.